I was kind of hoping Paul, you'd step here and preach. He was looking for somebody to do the bug. Well, maybe Paul's going to step here and preach, maybe, huh? Praise the Lord. Everybody have a good week? Short week? Yeah, some of us. Some of us didn't. Some of us did, I'm sure. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. I got a pair of pliers up here. So if anybody falls asleep. No. Okay. Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning, guys. Father, we so humbly come before your precious throne. Father, we praise you. We just want to magnify you. We just want to be here, Father, to hear your word. I want to be used by you. These people can hear what you have to say, Father. We just praise you. We thank you for this time that we can just take a few minutes to look at your precious word and look at you and look how precious you are to us. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Paul kind of stole my thunder. He said, you know, sometimes you pray for things and you don't get them, right? Anybody look at the message title this morning? Blessed with prayer. Write this down in your bulletins. Prayer is life's biggest time saver. Prayer is life's biggest time saver. It is. You know what's really bad? This is a downer message. It's a downer message.
From
me. In 2 weeks, the last couple weeks, I've been to 2 funerals. And those are always tough. But I went to a funeral for a young man and a young woman. They were found in their house dead, carbon monoxide poisoning. He was 29, she was 34. His sister just got married this fall, a month before. They were only married about 14 months. Cody and Megan was her name, who had died. They were married about 14 months. His sister got married this fall because the dad, Tim, has cancer. He's not very good shape. They didn't figure he would make it till next summer for her to get married, so she got married early. And went to the funeral, went to the calling hours. It was like 10 hours long, the calling hours. It was horrific. It was like 10 o'clock when they got out of there. It was crazy. Got to talk to Tim for a few minutes, and he's like, brother, he said, I know. God said, you won't give me more than I can handle. He said, this is heavy. He said, it's heavy. And I thought, he's right. It is heavy. I mean, he's got problems. His son and daughter-in-law just died. It's just, and I'm thinking, I'm asking God, I said, you ever ask God why? 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 You ever do that? Not a good question to ask God. Why? It's not. Because, you know, it just worked on me. It was really bad. It worked on me. And then I had this person that said, you know what? You're just a big, dumb donkey. I cleaned that up for you guys here. Okay? And, you know, things like that usually don't bother you. But this hurt. I was in a position. It hurt. And I told God, I said, man. It was just like, you know, one of them weeks, it's just like, you know, one of these numbers? It's like, man. And it was like, I was listening to the radio, and this guy was talking on there, and he said, you know what they say about the donkey? And I thought, what do they say about the donkey? And he says, you know, the donkey, when the Lord Jesus Christ is on his back, coming into Jerusalem, a triumphal entry, the donkey knew that the palm branches and all the people shouting Hosanna wasn't for him. And I thought, okay. How's that supposed to apply to my life? You know what I mean? I mean, am I the donkey? Yeah, I've been called that, my donkey. And I thought, so this is just all going in my head. You ever worry? And then I'm looking. What is the most depressing, the most down psalm that you know? Which one is it? I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 88. Psalm 88 was written by Haman. They kind of figure Haman was probably a wise man. In Solomon's court, actually. He wrote this. He helped the sons of Korah wrote this. And this psalm is just miserable. And it's like, do you really want to read this psalm when you're in the state of mind that I'm in? It's miserable. Yeah, I think we probably might as well. Psalm 88 says, O Lord, it starts out in verse 1. It says, O Lord, the God of my salvation. This is the only light. In this whole psalm, it says, oh God, oh Lord God, my salvation. You're my salvation. This guy knew that all this stuff he's going to complain about, if God was involved in making this come to him, then God had to be involved in taking it away. He recognized that God was his salvation. He recognized that everything that comes through him, to him, abusing him, comes through the fingers of the Almighty God. Huh? All these troubles come through the fingers of the Almighty God. Why? I don't know. Let's read this. It's interesting. I wasn't going to read the whole chapter, but I think we would, because it's almost like, you know what I mean? It's one of them. It's terrible. It's like, why would this be? Do you understand that the Psalms, the 150 books of Psalms, was the 150 top 10, top 150 in Jerusalem Psalms? That's what this was. It's a songbook. It was. It's like, oh Lord, the God of my salvation, I have cried to you for help all day. That sound like it? I don't know what it was like. They sang this. This was a song that they sang. And I'm thinking, when would you sing that song? In church? Ugh. Let's read it. You'll understand. It says, O Lord, the God of my salvation, I have cried to you for help by day. At night, I am in your presence. Let my prayer come before you and enter into your presence. Incline your ear to my cry, for I am full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol, which is another word for hell. Death. Death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit, the grave. I am like a man who has no help or strength, cast away among the dead, like the slain that lie in a grave, whom you remember no more, and they are cut off from your hand. You have laid him in the depths of the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Sounds pretty depressing so far, doesn't it? Your wrath lies hard upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your ways. Selah. Selah means pause and calmly think of that. Think of that. All this stuff is coming upon me. God's aware of it. Let's go on. You have put my friends far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I can't come out. My eyes grow dim because of sorrow and affliction. Lord, I have called daily on you. I have spread forth my hands to you. Paul said it. Sometimes you pray, Lord, help. Do you get an answer? Sometimes you don't. And I believe that sometimes when you don't get the answer, God is waiting to see, what you going to do? What you going to do? Are you going to make some decisions based on my word? Are you going to make some decisions on the wisdom that I've given you? Are you going to make some decisions? Are you going to take that one step and God goes, ha-boom, close the door? I have learned through many years of practice, when God closes the door on you, step back so it doesn't hit you in the face. Okay, step back. Get away from it because it's a door you don't want to go. God says, no, you're not going that way. Take that as a hint because it smacks you in the face and hurts. I've learned that. Let's go on. Verse 10 kind of changes this up a little bit. He's still complaining. This guy's still complaining. And I don't know how you'd sing this in some kind of a crybaby tone, but this is what this is. Verse 10, he says, he's telling God to listen. Will you show wonders? How are you going? If I die, God, who are you going to show you wonders to? That's what he's saying. This whole next couple of verses, look at this. Will you show your wonders to the dead? Shall the departed arise and praise you? Think of that. Shall your steadfast love be declared in the grave? Or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Abaddon is a place of ruin, destruction. Shall your wonders be known in the dark? And your righteousness in the place of forgetfulness? This guy's saying, you know, God, if I die, who are you going to show your wonders to? That's what he's saying. Verse 13, but to you I cry, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer come to you. Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? I was afflicted and close to the death from my youth up, while I suffer your terrors and am distracted. Your fierce wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They surround me like a flood all day long. Together they have closed in upon me. Lover and friend have you put far from me. My familiar friends in darkness and the grave. This sounds pretty depressing, doesn't it? You guys getting depressed? I'm depressed just reading it. This is the state of mind I was in. I'm like, man, all this stuff. And it's like, and you know what? I forgot something. Is God still in control? He's still in control. When bad things happen and we don't know why, he's still in control. Fruits of the Holy Spirit. See them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, those are seeds planted inside you. I believe there are seeds planted inside you. How do you get to that? How do you get that stuff? If I don't have troubles, if I don't have trials for a moment, if I don't have problems in my life, how am I ever going to learn patience? Anybody got patience? Not one hand. Wow. We got about that much, don't we? And depending on the day. Depending on the day. Because sometimes we got a little more patience than others. But that seed cannot grow without having problems. And I think, oh boy, okay, this is really depressing. We just came through a time of Thanksgiving. This is a depressing message, isn't it? But then I started thinking, what did the Lord have to suffer? This morning up in Sunday school, the way the thing is set up, there's no rhyme or reason to it. But today we did He is Risen. And it was a story of Christ being taken and scourged and dying on that cross and raising on the third day. And it fit, and it's like, yes. Yes. This is what it's all about. This is it. Go to Isaiah 53. We're right in the Old Testament. We might as well look at it. I started looking. And guys, I want to tell you a secret. See this book here? You got one? Everybody got one of these? Some of them got five or six in the house. This book is a gold, diamond, jeweled, sapphire encrusted mine. It's a gold mine. This is a gold mine. It's a gold mine. It is. How do you get gold out of a mine? You stand and go, well, I wish that would come out. I don't see anything. You see? I don't see nothing. Don't see nothing. What do? You get down here. That's gold in them there hills. There's gold. There's gold in this book. And when you got problems, and when you got trials, and it feels like the whole world's against you, you start looking at this book, and you start thinking, man, I serve a God. He's risen. I cried upstairs one, and he came out of the tomb. It's like, yes, dude. It's like, yes, he's risen. And it's my God. And it's your God. Huh? And there's no equal. None. Isaiah 53. I got a little book that says it's the names of God. Names of Jesus. And one of the names in there is Man of Sorrows. And I thought, wow, you mean he had sorrow like I had sorrow? Let's read this. Let's start in verse 1 because I want you to see this. Isaiah 53 is a messianic chapter. It's pretty cool. It says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For the servant of God grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness that we should look at him and no beauty that we should desire him. You know what comes to my mind in that? He wasn't anything special to look at. And I relate that because when remember when Judas came with all the guards? And they said, the one that I kiss, that's him. He looked just like you and me. There wasn't anything special about him. He wasn't 3 feet taller. He wasn't bigger. He wasn't more handsome. He didn't have a crown. There was nothing to differentiate him from you and me. He was just a normal, ordinary guy. A normal, ordinary woman. And that's what this is saying. He didn't have anything. You couldn't tell he was anything special. Verse 3. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men. A man of sorrows. This word for sorrows here is actually, I looked this up. This word for sorrows is actually pain. It's affliction. It's trouble. And I thought, wow, you mean to tell me that a God of the universe who created everything out of nothing? Nothing. I can tear my truck apart and I can put it back together. But I didn't make the bolts. I didn't make the engine parts. I didn't make the harmonic balancer. I didn't make the crankshaft. I didn't make that stuff. I can put it together. God started with nothing. He said, you know what? I think I'm just going to separate the water from the land. Really? You got that kind of power, dude? Yeah, I got that kind of power. And I'll just do it. And you know what? I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm going to call out a light for the day and a light for the night. There's the sun. And 12 billion zillion, gazillion, trazillion more of them. I just make one. I'll make a billion of them. Zillion of them. They don't even know. They can't count the number of stars in the universe. They can't count them. There's so many. And God just said, let there be light. And it was there. Can you understand how much power that is? I don't get it. How would somebody with that kind of power, you know what? You guys need a savior, and I'm gonna take care of that for you. Really? Does he know me? I'm a big dumb donkey. Does he know me? He's gonna die for me? Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that for you, even though you didn't even know who I was, and you didn't even love me, and you had no dealings with me at all. I'm gonna die for you, and I'm gonna take your sins, and I'm gonna take all that comes on you. I'm gonna take it off of you, even though you don't even know it yet. That's God. He says, a man of sorrows. And he says, what's it say? He's acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one to whom men hide their faces, he was despised. He was not depreciated. His worth, nobody esteemed him. Really? Kind of sound like me. They don't appreciate me. Huh? But God wasn't. He said, you know what? Because you don't appreciate me, because you don't even have a clue who I am, I'm still going to do it. Still going to do it. And he says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows and pains, yet we considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted by God. Like with leprosy. That's what it says. The Greek here is like, man, you don't get away from me. Leprosy. I don't want to know. Get away from me. That's the way people treated him. And he was God. And I start thinking, you know, I'm asking God, why? Why would you let two people? Why would this happen? Why? Why? And it's like, you don't know my ways. You don't know my ways. But you have to understand that I'm still in control and I still love you. Even when I don't understand. I can't give that man any kind of advice that's going to help him. What do you say to somebody like that? You know what? You give them a hug, and you mean it. You give them a hug, and you mean it. You say, you know what, brother? You're in my prayers every day. And I'm going to bring you before the Lord every day. And he's going to show you something in this. I don't know what, but he's still God. And he's still in control. And he still loves you. He said, I know. What do you say? That's what I said. Was it a good thing or not? But then I'm looking at all this stuff, and I'm thinking, how much of my spiritual time, you were all busy, we got work to do, how much of my spiritual time do I try to get God on my agenda? You know, God, you know, if this worked out good, I didn't have any trouble today, if this all worked out, you know, if I got a good, and this, you ever do that? Yeah, we all do. Lord, please help me, I messed up. Huh? We all do that. And it's like, you know, maybe I should be spending more time looking at his word, thinking, you know what? You are God. You called the earth into existence. You formed me. You know me intimately. You know who I am. There's no sense in hiding my feelings from you. You know them already, so let's talk about it. What's prayer? What is prayer? It's a conversation with God. It's that easy, guys. I can't know any of you unless I talk to you, right? I go, hey, how you doing? And we don't talk. I don't know you. You don't know me. You don't know what troubles I'm facing. You know what problems you got. We don't know. So we talk about it. Do you understand that when you pray, you're talking to God who knows you intimately, has no qualms, has no misgivings about who you are, and still loves you. When he sees you, he says, you know what? That child is covered by the blood of my son. And they're an heir and a joint heir. Remember what I preached last night? They're an heir and a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got everything he's got. And I'm going to mope around, woe is me. Nobody knows the sorrows I see. You know, you ever sing that song? Huh? I do at home a lot. My wife gets mad at me. I mess with her. You know what I'm saying? But no, it's like, no. Why can't we get excited? Huh? You know that couple, the young couple, their problems are over. They have no problems. They're in the presence of the Almighty God. They're running, they're jumping, they're leaping, they're having fun. They're praising God. They got no problems. It's us back here that have a problem, isn't it? Yeah, we have the problems. And then I'm looking. You know how you look. And then I come across a name for Jesus. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Huh? That's a power name, guys. That's a power. You guys all see a lion you all been to the zoo, seen a lion? Pretty ferocious looking things, isn't it? There was a dad and his son went to the zoo one day, and they went to the lion cage, and the lion, and the little boy, like, run, Dad, run! He's running. He says, boy, get back here. Run, Dad, he's going to get us! Got the boy, Dad! He's screaming and running. And the dad's like, will you stop? He said, Dad, don't you see the lion? He said, no, I see the cage that he's in. I see the cage that he's in. And I thought to myself, isn't that like our problems? We look at that problem and that thing is big and it's heavy and we can carry it because it's heavier. We can't go. And then we go, you know what? I got God on my side. He's on my side. He can control all this stuff. And I go to him and I say, Father, what do you want me to learn in this? What do you want me to learn? And you know what? I think he gave me a message on it. Yeah. And I learned something then, because when you get down, we all get down. But you got to look to him. You got to look to the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2, the author and finisher of our faith. He wrote the book. He started the thing. He'll finish the thing. He is the author and finisher of your faith. How's your faith going to grow? If I don't have problems, I'm just cruising along. Smooth. Huh? Right? No, we got trouble in this life. The car breaks down. We got a refrigerator problem. We got all this stuff. The furnace don't work. All this stuff. You know what? God gives us favor in every bit of it. Yeah. Every bit of it. So when I looked at that name, Lion, the Tribe of Judah. Judah is the tribe that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, chose to come down. Christ chose his own lineage. Isn't that interesting? If you could choose a family member, would you choose all your family members you got now? I mean, I'm not talking immediate family right here. We won't go. But I'm talking like Uncle Bob, who's a little bit weird. Uncle Chuck, who's really weird.
There's still family.
If you could choose them, though. Christ chose some really... some characters. He chose some characters. He actually chose his lineage. He chose how... I'm going to come through the line of Judah. I'm going to be... Son of David. I'm going to be that king. The king you're looking for. Huh? The king. I want to show you a verse. We're going to come back to this line of tribe of Judah. You guys ever hear in 1 Chronicles 4 the prayer of Jabez? You ever hear this? Everybody ever hear the prayer of Jabez? Pretty cool little prayer. What's really interesting about this prayer, there's 8 chapters in the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, devoted to nothing but lineage. This guy was the son, and the son was the son, and the son, 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 the son. 8 chapters! 8! And you read, and you read, and you read, and you think, huh? When you read this, it's like, dude, give me a coffee. I mean, I'm going to fall asleep reading them, and I don't even know half of these names. Hazalela Pony? That's a heck of a name for a daughter. Hazalela Pony. Huh? It's like, dude, these names. And right smack dab in the middle of this chapter, chapter 4, it's going down, cause with the father of Anab and Zobadiah and the families of Halal and son of Haram. And then verse 9 says, Jabez was honorable above his brothers. It doesn't say who his mom was. Doesn't say who his dad was. Doesn't say who his uncle was. Who his sister was. Doesn't even say who his brothers were. Nothing. He has no lineage trace here whatsoever. Nothing. You can't find it. It's not there. He's just in the tribe of Judah. He's in that tribe. Had no clue who his dad and mom was. No clue. Doesn't even say who kids he had. He's just out there nowhere. But it's neat. Because it says Jabez was honorable above his brothers. But his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. The reason I went to this, we all have a name given to us by our parents. Jabez means sorrow maker, painful. How would you like to name your kid, hey, sorrow maker, how you doing? Hey, painful, come over here.
That's what they did. Every time they called his name, that's what they were saying. He was trouble. This guy was trouble, wasn't he? How would you like to... I thought I was going to get one of my wife's old baby name books and go down through names and look, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. But this guy, he's trouble. And his mom says, I'm going to name you trouble because you're trouble. And that's what they called him. I know some of us as parents say, come here, trouble. Right? Huh? Or we use their full name with the middle name, right? Use the whole name, whatever it is. Two middle names, whatever it is. This guy's mom named him trouble. You're just. I had you in pain. We don't know whether she had a hard labor. We don't know if there was something bad going on. It's just, he was just trouble, and I named him trouble. And I thought, wow. So when somebody calls me a big dumb donkey, I don't have to live up to that name, do I? I don't have to live up to that name. And that's what hit me. Like, I don't have to live up to that name. Jabez, troublemaker. But he was more honorable. He was honorable above his brother. This guy, God picked this guy out because he was more honorable than any of his brothers. He's a troublemaker. Don't go around that guy. He's nothing but trouble. He's got name trouble. You know he's named trouble. There's a city named after him. It's called Trouble. Jabez. That's the only time you find it in the whole book of the Bible. It's here in another place. There's a town named Jabez. That's it. We know nothing about this dude. But his mom said, he's trouble. Stay away from him. He's trouble. Verse 10. Jabez cried to the God of Israel. Now, one thing about Jabez, he knew who God was. And when he cried, this is not going, well, Lord, I'm back again today. Need a little assistance here, you know. No, it's like, God, where are you? That was it. He cried. It's the cry you use to get somebody's attention. You know, pardon me, can I get you? No, you're like, hey, dude. That's what he was doing. He's like, God of Israel. And you know what? He looked back and said, you know, that God of Israel, he brought them people out of Egypt. He did them 10 plagues. That was pretty cool. And he took them to the Red Sea. He's like, dude, we walked through on dry ground. Cool. I can see fishes up in the water. Wouldn't that be cool? Can you imagine that? That would be so cool, walking through the water. There's a fish in there. I see him. Huh? Wouldn't that be cool? He'd heard these stories. He knew God was a God. That's who he was calling to. He says, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border. In the Greek, this is not, oh, that you would bless me. This is like, God, when you bless me, it's like, God, I know you're going to do it. I got no problem with that. When you bless me, that's what he was saying. This morning in Sunday school, Alan prayed, and he said, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing today and what you're going to do. And I thought, praise the Lord! Yeah! He got a hold of it for what you're going to do, because you know God is in control. No matter how ugly my life gets, he's still there. He's still in control. He says, God, when you bless me, you'd enlarge my border. And this word for border is his territory. It's a territory, but it's like my ministry. Could you enlarge? It's like this church. God, can you enlarge our ministry? We can touch more people. Huh? We can talk to more people. We can meet more people. We can share the love of Christ with more people. That's what he was asking. God, when you bless me, when you do it, I want you to enlarge that territory that I can touch a lot of people. Because you know my name is bad. So when people hear, hey, I'm Jabez, I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's trouble. He was. You would enlarge more, and yet your hand might be with me. Do you understand that he's saying something here that we need to understand? That if God is involved in what we're doing, if he is in the midst of it, if he is God of our life, then he's in the middle of it. And we got to let him be Lord of our life. We got to let him take control. We got to stand before him and say, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but if you want me to look like a total idiot, I will get up here and do it. And he's like, go for it. Huh? He's like, go for it. And I think, wow. And he's still in it. His hand is in it. And what's he say? And you would keep me from evil, that it might not hurt me. He's saying, you know what? I know that when I get involved in this, when you enlarge my territory, when you're involved in what I'm doing, there's going to be stuff come against me. And he's saying, God, I want you to just put a hand on that and don't let that touch me. Can we pray that over our life? Can we pray that prayer over our life? We say, God, I know you're going to bless me. I know you're going to give me favor. I know you're in my life. I know you're my God. I know who you are. And when you bless me, and when you enlarge my territory, and I can stand up here and run my big mouth, that I can touch people, and they can understand that you are God, and that you love them, and you want the best for them. And I don't want any evil to come against us. We want to bind the hand of Satan. We want to bind the hand of all this garbage that comes against us. We want to bind it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hold on to it. What's the next of that part of the verse say? And God granted his request. And that's all we ever hear about Jabez. We don't know what troubles come upon him. We don't know how his ministry was. We don't know anything more about him. But God says, you know what? He prayed a prayer to me, and I granted his petition. Huh? Huh? Is that exciting? You guys don't look excited at all. That's exciting to me. I think, man, and I'm so down because of stupid junk and all the stuff that comes upon me and all these names have been called. God says, dude, I was called worse than that. And he was. And I'm thinking, the President of the United States came here, and I don't know if you like him or not, Mr. Donald Trump, President Donald Trump. If he came here by himself, came in here, and the doors were locked, and we couldn't get out. And he said, you know what, I'll make a phone call. Do you believe that if he made that phone call, these doors would get open? Do you believe he would? I mean, he called the Air Force, Army, Marines, the SEALs. I mean, that'd be like people, it'd be like millions of people going, yeah, rip the door off. I mean, this place would be tore down. The roof would come off. Because he made one phone call. You know, that's just a, it ain't even a minuscule nothing to the power of our God. Amen. And when you talk to him, you mean I can actually talk to that God? You mean I can actually come before him and say, God, I don't know why, but Father, I praise you. You're who you are. And he goes, why don't you get in that book? I'll give you a little something, something. I'll give you a little something. I got a little something, something for you. Huh? And that's what it's all about. Revelation 5:5. I want to show you one more thing. I cannot, and there's no way in my mind that I can give you the power that God is. I can't. There's no words. There's no analogy. There's no. Revelation 5:5. John's in heaven. Picture this scene. God, the Lord God of the universe, the one who created it all, is sitting on his throne. He's sitting on his throne, and he's got his hand open, just like this. Open, just open. He's got a scroll in his hand. He puts it like that, and he's sitting there. And nobody can. He doesn't have his hand closed. He's not holding. He's got it open. And because of how awesome he is, nobody can take it out of his hand. Nobody. It says, we'll read it here. Look at this. Verse 1, chapter 5. And I saw lying an open hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and without, and on his back, closed and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel announcing in a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll, and who can break its seals? Verse 3. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to take the scroll out of his hand. He's just sitting there. Nobody can touch it. Nobody. Nobody's got that power. Listen to John. He says, and I wept audibly, bitterly, because no one was found fit to open the scroll or look at it. Nobody. No one. This is God. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. There's a song like that, but I won't do it for you. He's sitting there. You can't touch this. And he's like, I just got my hand open. Go ahead. Nobody can take it. Verse 5. Then one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has won, overcome, and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. And there between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain with seven horns and seven eyes, which is the seven spirits of God who have been sent into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Who is that lamb? and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that had that power. No one else could touch it.
He just walked up and took it because he had overcome. He paid the price. He was the Son of the Almighty God. And when this happened, there's a big whoo-hoo in heaven. Praise the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy. And you know, when I look at this name, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, he is a lion. No one can touch a lion. They're the king of all beasts, right? Judah were praise and worshipers. Do you understand when I sing praise and worship? I'm praising with the God. I'm praising God. I'm praising. I'm praising. You understand? He is my lion of praise. Can you get a little excited? Can you look forward to praise and worship in church? Can you stand up and say, yes! He's our God. He deserves our praise. Amen. And when you get like that, all this stuff, like, you know what? I don't have the answers for a lot of this stuff. I don't have the answers for it. But I know one thing. My God is still in control. Right. He still rules over this planet, no matter what men might do. And He still loves each and every one of us. Huh? Can you get a little excited about that? Yes. Huh? Yeah. Mm. I hope you get one thing out of this whole message. I hope you get out of this message that prayer is life's biggest time saver. It is life's biggest time saver. You know, when you take things to the Lord in prayer, He's working on it. He's dealing with it. He's involved in it. He's in the middle of it. His power is on it. He's in it. You know that? Wouldn't it make better sense to go to Him and ask for something before you step into the mess? Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think? I would think. Because when I have all these problems come on me, and all these things that come upon us in everyday life, who here doesn't have any problems? You guys all got a smooth life. No problem. Nothing. You guys ain't got no trouble. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Huh, I must be the only one here. Because I got troubles. I got problems. I got things that come against me in this life. And you know what? My situation may look really bad, but I still know God's involved in it. And I still know He's working an end to it. And you know what? I've heard preachers say, you know, I looked at the end of the book. We win! We win! You know, I read through that whole book, and we win every time. We don't look at it as winning. When we die, we think, oh, died. You know what? When you leave this earth, your last breath here, you step through the door to eternity. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's all good. It's all good. It's all. Can you imagine? I can't. There's no words. Revelation explains what heaven's kind of going to be like. You can read it. You can study it. It took 3 years to go through it, and I still was like, it's just going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. You know what? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're going there. You're going there. When you leave this earth, you're going there. Can we get a little excited about that? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo! I'd say amen to myself, because nobody else will. Praise the Lord. We are blessed, guys, with prayer. We are blessed with the ability to go to the throne of the Almighty God, the one who could take that scroll out of God's hand. The only one with that power. Undrainable, unquenchable, undeniable power. God. We can go to His throne and say, Father, I got a little bit of a mess here. And He's like, oh boy. No, He's like, yeah, I knew about that. That was no big deal. Yeah, I did something just kind of like that myself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, cool. I'm acquainted with your sorrow. I'm acquainted with that. I was rejected of people. I was called bad names. I was this. He had all this stuff come on Him. And He didn't say a word. I told the kids in Sunday school today, I said, you know, He says He could have called 12 legions of angels. One angel killed 185,000 one night. 12 legions of angels could have annihilated the planet. Annihilated us. You know what? He could probably start over. Let's try Adam and Eve in the garden again. See if they'll screw it up again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, He could have done that. But he didn't. He didn't say a word. And he suffered. Because he knew when he paid that price on that cross, when he said, "It is finished. It's finished. Everything is finished." That we can come boldly before his precious throne and say, "Father, help!" Amen. You know what he's like? "I hear you. I got you. I got you. I got you." And sometimes that's what we need to feel, his presence. And he's got a hold of us. He said, "I got you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we so humbly come before your precious throne. We know you are God. Sometimes we lose total sight of you and how awesome and precious you are to us. But Father, I praise you because you gave us your word. We can look in it. We can find the nuggets and jewels and emeralds and gold. Father, it is you and your word. And we can apply it to our lives. We can see how much you suffered, knowing that you are not, you know our problems. You've been there. You've been there, you've done that. And Father, you overcame. And Father, I pray that we are overcomers today, that by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony, Father, we can overcome all the things in this life. We can stand before your precious throne, knowing, God, that you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come into your rest." Praise the Lord. There is a rest for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, I praise you. I thank you for this time. Hopefully this applies to people's lives, that they can put it to their life, put it to the test, put you to the test. Know that you're God and you're still in control. Father, we praise and we thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The praise team comes forward. I'd like the elders to come forward. This is the time that we offer. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can come up here and pray for, lay your hands on. You can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It has nothing to do with these men. It's all to do about what he did on that cross. If you can accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm also going to open this up. Is anybody here that needs prayer for anything in your life? Problems, troubles, calamities, issues you're dealing with. You want prayer for that? Come forward. We're going to sing a song called the Revelation song. I'm going to ask them to sing a song. And I want you to understand he's God.
just stand before Him and praise and magnify His precious name. He is so awesome to us. You guys go in the power of the Lord today, and I pray that the Holy Spirit be with you and that Satan will be bound in your life and God is in full control. You can look at Him and say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Have a good week, guys. Praise the Lord.